chapter number 3. The book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Glad you're saved today. Say amen. Exodus chapter number 3. Now, it's a turning point. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro. I bet he was a great shepherd. His father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock. That's what we need. We see, flocks don't lead the shepherd. Shepherds are to lead the flock. I'm glad we have the great shepherd this morning. And he said that he led the flock to the backside of the desert. He came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. I don't think Moses was so interested in his flock being out in the forefront and being seen and being in the today's environment in such a way that a lot of people want their flock to be. But he wanted them alone. And I tell you who he wanted them alone with. See, in the desert, you'll find yourself alone with God. Our problem is we've got way too busy and we never get alone. But I tell you, I'm glad I've got some places where I can get alone with God on the backside of the desert. Now, Moses is one of the greatest men that God ever purposed to use. Moses now is a man about 80 years old. He's been on the backside of the desert with his flock, with just a handful of sheep that wasn't even his. But he was leading them to get alone and get close to God. The Bible said, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. He had seen a lot of bushes of fire, but he had never seen no bushes that wouldn't burn up. Moses said, I will now turn aside, see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him, have the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. He said, draw not nigh hither. Put off ye shoes from thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he said, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I am come down. Aren't you glad that he can? I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of that land into a good land and large, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come up unto me, and I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I'll send you to Pharaoh. Thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Verse 13, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children, and I'll say to them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, they shall say to me, What's his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this good time together in the house of God. Thank you for the people that has come this way. God, looking for direction and instruction and encouragement. I pray, Lord, you let our church be just that today in this service. I pray now you let preaching be easy. Oh, God, I need you to touch me this morning in preaching. I need your power and your unction, and I pray that you'd preach through me just a little while. Pray you'd use me to be a blessing to your people today. Accomplish that. Oh, God, accomplish things here today that only you, our good God, can do. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I'm interested today in verses number 2 and 4. The Bible said, And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And he called to him out of the midst of the bush, and he says, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. I'd like to preach on this simple topic this morning on God don't beat around the bush. God don't beat around the bush. Have you ever met somebody and they just sort of wouldn't man up and say what needed to be said? You ever met somebody that's come up to you and they really wanted to tell you something, but they just wouldn't tell you nothing, and you went back home, and somebody said, Well, what'd they say? And you simply said this, I don't know what he said. He just beat around the bush. I'm glad we've got a God that don't just beat around the bush. I want to say, you'll notice that God don't beat around the bush about his appearance. There will always be a witness. Now realize this morning, there's a lot of churches that you could be at. And I realize there's a lot of places that have a church on a sign. But I can tell you this, I sure am glad that God don't beat around the bush about His appearance of where He is. There will always be a witness. You'll notice in this bush, it caught a fire. Now, wouldn't it be a blessing that if every church in America was caught on fire for the glory and the benefit of God. Now, some of you young people say, well, I can't do nothing for God. Well, you'll notice, first of all, there was the size of the bush. It was a very small bush. Aren't you glad that God can use little things to turn into big things? Matter of fact, a lot of times the reason God don't do big things because we're not little enough. But oh my, God chose that He would move in a bush or a little acacia thorny tree on the backside of the desert to get somebody's attention. You ought to thank God that you go to church where there is an appearance of God and He will always make a witness of Himself. Now I realize that every church has their issues. But I sure am glad that we have a God that don't beat around the bush about His presence. I'm glad God lets His presence be known. Matter of fact, I appreciate last Sunday morning, we didn't even get around to the preaching of the Word of God. God moved in with His presence. And let me tell you, it does matter where you go to church this morning. Honey, there's a lot of buildings, but we need the presence of God back in our churches where we gather together. And I'm glad God don't beat around the bush about His appearance. God will let you know where He's at. Now, God is a God of fire. I'd ask you something. I had this thought yesterday in studying this passage. Now, By the grace of God, I'll start 20 years here Christmas morning in this ministry. Many of you have been here as long as that, and some of you, you've just gotten to this church. But I want to ask you, you that's been here a little longer than others, God says He's a God of consuming fire. So I would ask you this, where you go to church, and on account of where you go to church, is there anything that's been burned up in your life? And you know, I've noticed the more you get around this God of fire, He'll take over some things and He'll burn the dross out of our life. And if it's ever been a day and an hour when we better be getting ready to meet our God, it is this morning. Because the pages of this Bible showing that Jesus is coming. And honey, it's not a fairy tale. Jesus is coming back to this old world on the cloud of glory to get His children. And we that are ready and born again by the grace of God, as Brother David sang this morning, thank God we're going across the river where there's no more heartaches and no more pains and there's no more bad phone calls. Thank God there's no more bad day. I'm glad there's a God that don't beat around the bush about where He's at. Hallelujah. People may say, oh, well, you going to that shout and hollering church? I just asked you something. Have you got any benefits from being around God? A man can study and have the best poems and outlines that anybody's ever heard. But honey, if the fire of God's not in there where He's preaching, the people will waste gas getting down to where He is. And I'm coming to tell you this morning that gas is way too high to drive into a dead church. I'm glad. Would somebody help me preach on a Sunday morning down in a little town in Powden, Georgia, and realize God don't beat around the bush about His appearance. There'll always be a witness. To God be the honor and the glory. Now we got to realize something. A handful of people can't do this. And a preacher can't change your heart the way the God of glory's done that. So He's a God of consuming fire. I'd ask you, since you've met this God, is there anything being burned up in your life? When some of you came into this place, God has manifested Himself to you and He's got you thinking about what you used to do and what you're doing now. And honey, I realize I may not be where I could be this morning, but I'm a long way from where God found me at. Thank God I'm not perfect, but I am going to heaven through the blood of His darling Son. And I'm glad He's burning some things up out of my life that for His honor and His glory that He's not pleased with. Boy, I'm glad I can go to church where God don't beat around the bush about His appearance. I'm glad you're raising your children in a place where God manifests Himself. Where would we be if we was trying to raise our children around a well that was empty? Where would we be? We was trying to raise a children without a table, without bread. Oh, I sure am glad God don't beat around the bush about His presence. Now you'll notice it don't take a big place for God to be at. Boy, God showed Himself on the backside of a desert and He moved in just a little bitty bush. And boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if some of our young people would get on fire for the glory of God. But Mom and Daddy, I can tell you, we might would have more young people burning with the glory of God if we'd get set on fire by the glory of God. If we'd say amen, and if we'd preach, and if we'd use the altar, our babies may get accustomed to doing what we're doing. We're asking them to do something that you won't even do yourself. We ought to get involved in the family of God and the house of God and say, Lord, set it on fire and let it burn for Your honor and Your glory this morning. There was an older preacher told me one time, he said, I tell you what, boy. He said, if you'll learn to build a fire in that church, people come watch it burn.
I believe with all my heart there's ever been a time that we need the revival fires of God burning in our churches, burning back in America. It is this morning. There was a time when preachers would still preach on sin, still preach on doing right for the glory of God. They wouldn't run in to be a politician. They wouldn't try to be first place in the community. They just reared back like a leather lung. God called young'un and cried, "Thus saith the word of God, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ," this morning. Oh God, don't beat around the bush about His appearance. I'm glad we got a God that can manifest Himself. There's a lot of boys running around trying to find the God that's in the grave. Buddha's dead and Confucius is not alive. And hey, Islam's still out of hell. There's a God in heaven that'll show Himself to His people. Thank God He don't beat around the bush. Hallelujah. I'm glad our God is alive. You say, how you know He's alive? Because I feel Him. You say, well, salvation ain't about feeling. Well, the salvation I got brought some feeling. I know feeling don't bring salvation, but salvation will bring some feeling. And I'm glad, hallelujah, I'm a feeling saved right now. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, there's a God that came to where I was and set me afire by the glory of God. I'm glad He made His presence known. Hallelujah. Glad I'm not going into church and leave and say, was God there? Well, I've noticed this. God don't beat around the bush about attention. You see, there will always be a word. He not only beats around the bush about His He don't beat around the bush about His appearance. There's witness, but He don't beat around the bush about His attention. There'll always be a word. You notice what He said? He said, hey, Moses, you better be glad God got your attention one day. I remember some, and I won't call them out because the devil will pull you out and blow your brains out and you'll be out of church. But I can call several boys, come in here, some with wives and girlfriends, just sort of visiting around, looking around, coming to make everybody happy. And God got your attention out of a bush that was set on fire down in Bowling, Georgia. You ought to be glad God can get you a kitchen where He goes to church at. Hallelujah. Moses. He said, Abraham, Simon, Satan doth desire to sift you as wheat. Moses. Oh, God don't beat around the bush about His appearance, and God don't beat around the bush about His attention. You say, hey, how will I know God wants me to do something? He's big enough to let you know. Amen. God's too big to miss. He'll just run plumb over you. God can do anything He wants to do. God don't beat around the bush about attention. Moses. Matter of fact, God can set your bush afire and get your attention anytime He wants to strike a match. He knows what bush to burn in your life. Some of you just sort of walking around. You're a fan. You're not a follower. And I can tell you this. You ought to jump in this thing. Quit tiptoeing around this thing of your religion and your Christianity. And realize it is a walk with God. It is an experience. It's a day-to-day living. It's a get-up living for Jesus and a going-to-bed living for Jesus. I'm telling you, honey, I'm not a Johnny come lately. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that can get your attention this morning. There'll always be a word, Moses. Moses. You say, preacher, how long, how loud did he say it? I want to say something. That bush is talking pretty loud. When God sets your bush afire, He's going to get your attention. Moses. I'm glad one day there's an old man of God come by my trailer. 1981, one August evening, God let a bush catch a fire down in Bowden, Georgia, and got my attention, got to calling my name. Not long after that, he got to calling me, and I said, well, I'll try teaching Sunday school. I was the director over the Sunday school, and I'd get up, and Brother Tim, I couldn't even read. I'd just sit there and squall and blubber and snot all over everybody. And some of them deacons looked around and said, I don't know what in the world's happened to him, but God's doing something with him. Ain't you glad you met some people that God's doing something with in this day and hour for His honor and glory? I'm glad God knows our name. Hallelujah. God has no problem getting your attention. You say, well, I'll take my odds. I'm going to gamble with God. You're going to lose. I sure am glad there's a God that I'm glad He got my attention. I'm glad He don't beat around the bush about name calling. Amen. Moses, He's been calling your name for some time now. You ought to answer and see what He wants. Pick a phone up. It's ringing. It ain't the preacher calling. It's God calling. It tickles me. Some of y'all think that I camp out down where you live because I preach on your sin. It ain't me, honey. It's the God of heaven that sees everything you are doing, sees everything I'm doing. We ain't hiding nothing from the God of this Bible. He'll send a bush in your life to tell on you every time He'll tell on you. Thank hallelujah. I feel like preaching this one. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that called my name one day and got my attention from what I was doing. I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God don't beat around the bush. He don't beat around the bush about His presence. Boy, He loves to let His appearance be known. He don't beat around the bush about attention. And then He don't beat around the bush about authority. Look what He said. Moses, he said, now we got to get something clear for me and you start out. You need to know who the boss is. This may be a two-bottle sermon this morning. You say you ain't going to do nothing for God till you figure out who He is. He's holy. You see, He don't beat around the bush about His authority. He demands worship. Now He said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from your feet, for the place wherein you standest is holy ground. You know what's missing today in our Baptist churches is respect for God. I see sometimes young men coming in about half cocked. Shirts undone like they fixing to draw a gun and shoot somebody. Coming in with their sunglasses popped up on their head or with their hat on. Amen. Honey, we better realize that God is a God to be respected. And when we come to the house of God, we ought to respect where He's at. Amen. Ain't it amazing? We got security cameras all over this property. They'll come around. They'll drink their beer. They'll do their wicked things on God's property. I'm telling you, honey, God said, I've got no problem beating around the bush about who's in authority. Let me tell you, God's still on the throne. He told Moses, before you do anything for me, you better realize who the boss is, honey. You ain't telling God what He's a-doing. God's a-running this thing this morning. Well, I feel like I've hit a rock in my plow and all I know to do is take another roll in my sleeves. All I know to tell you this morning, you may be thinking that you're running things. You may think God's got a bow to you, but honey, there's a God in heaven that can take the air out of you in 1 second. God does what He pleases and He deserves all of our honor, all of our glory, all of our praise. And we better learn to respect Him as they did in the old days. Hallelujah. He said something you better understand before I use you. He said, I'm not calling you because I think you can do it. I'm not calling you because you're better than somebody else. I've called you because I purpose to call you. Now take your shoes off. I tell you why God can't use more preachers in America. Because they're scared to take their shoes off. Amen. It done him good that day when God unshoed him. It do some of you good to realize you can't even walk without Him a holding your hand. He said, you think you can walk real big? Strike out across that desert. Walk on them thorns and them stones. You think you're doing a good job? Let me strip you off to what you come in this world with. Let you realize that all from God blessings flow and you can do nothing within yourself. He's a walking around with his shoes off. You say, when did he put them on? I don't know. But I guarantee you, the next time he laced them up, he thought about what God said. Take off your shoes. They're on holy ground. I remember what he told Joshua. He told Joshua something and Moses differed. Moses is gone. Joshua's picked up. Brother Leon, you know what he done? He got ready to cross. He told Joshua, he said, take your shoe off. Take shoe off. Yeah, take your shoe off. And go down there and lead them to Jericho. I could just watch what he was doing. When he walked down there hopping. See, that's where God wants us to get in our Christian life. Contrary to what Joe Osteen's preaching to you. Amen. Hey. Let me tell you, friend, there's nothing good in our flesh and we better quit propping it up and realize there's a God in heaven that can do everything that we cannot do for His honor and His glory. When you go to your job in the morning, you ought to take one shoe off. When you walk in there, you better realize that it ain't you doing it. Now, I got to thinking about this when I was preaching about Joshua taking Jericho, where God said, take your shoe off instead of your shoes. I bet when he led them children of Israel around that city that seventh day, that's looking in that track and they say, I don't see but one shoe print. What happened to you? He said, I realize I can't do it by myself. Hallelujah. It was a great day when I realized I couldn't do this. It's a great day in my business life when I realized I couldn't make them numbers meet. It was a great day in my life when I realized I couldn't raise kids. You see, Moses had the same attitude. He said, well, Lord, I can't do this. He said, I don't know why you're calling me to preach. I stutter and stammer around. God said, I'm looking for somebody that ain't got it all figured out. You know what God's doing this morning? God's looking for some people that ain't got Him all figured out. Our problem is we come to church, we'll say, all right, let's sing three songs, take up an offering, and let's go to the house. I'm glad there's more to church than that. I'm glad it's more to serving God than three poems and a prayer. I'm glad we've got a God that can set a bush of fire on the backside of a desert, go to talking to His people and do something for His honor and His glory. Is anybody glad that down in Ballin, Georgia, God took a little shrub and set it afire and He's calling people's name out of it every day? Thank God He's worthy of our praise this morning. He said, before we go any further, you better realize I'm the boss. If some of you got that crazy bumper sticker that God's your co-pilot, you ought to donate that to the Salvation Army. Let them burn it up in heater fuel about winter. If God can't drive, He ain't a riding. And I'm going to tell you, Liberty Baptist Church, I believe with all my heart, God's fixing to give us that wing probably next year. I know God's going to take that wall out, but we better realize something this morning. It ain't about how big a church gets. It ain't how big and fancy it gets. And it ought to be the prettiest place in town. But honey, if God ain't paying the power bill, and if God ain't running the light, hey, it ain't worth coming to church for. Let God be everything at this place.
This is not your church. It's where you go to church. It's God's church. That ain't your pew that you sitting on. I wish Sunday morning we had 100 visitors looking for preaching that come and sit down in your nest. Set down on your new pocketbook. That kills us places we go preaching. We walk in, everybody's got their pocketbooks and Bibles laid everywhere and they ain't sitting there. Boy, it makes us feel like they want us to sit down. Y'all just clam up. You ain't heard no preaching yet. He said, before you do anything for me, you better understand that I'm God and I'm holy. And if there's anything going to be done with you, it won't be because who you are. It'll be because who I am. Because He said, I am that I am. You see, God don't beat around the bush. God don't beat around the bush about His appearance. God don't beat around the bush about attention. God don't beat around the bush about authority. Then God don't beat around the bush about announcements. Look what He said in verse 10. There'll always be a work. Come now, therefore, and I'll send you to Pharaoh. Michelle, I want you to come. Thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let me tell you something, Liberty Baptist Church. God never intended for His children to camp out in Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. He said, come out from among them, be ye separate. I'm not crazy. I want to see our church grow and do good for the glory of God. But I want to see it grow right. I don't want to see Egypt build our church. And you know yourself, you look right here right just a minute. Give me about 10 more minutes. We're not preaching tonight. Just give me a few minutes. I want to say something. You know yourself in a place this nice, people this friendly. If a man wouldn't take this Bible and preach on sin, we'd have done built 3 times. But I'm going to tell you something, what I've noticed about God. God has a work for all of us to do. And He has no problems. He never does beat around the bush about an announcement. He said, I want you to go and deliver my people. I wonder, would God use you to do something for somebody else? There's always going to be a work involved by the announcement. And then God don't beat around the bush not only about announcement, but He don't beat around the bush about ability. Verse 13, Moses said to God, behold, when I come down there to them and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what's His name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I seen something yesterday studying that I'd never seen. You see, He said, I tell you what you do. You tell your fathers that I'm the God. Watch the order He always does it. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, we have a triune God. And He says, I'm the God of Abraham. Isn't He the father of our faith? And there we see God the Father. Then He said, I want you to know something else. Not only am I the God of Abraham the Father, He said, but I'm the God of Isaac. He said in Genesis 22, He said, you remember when Isaac went up on that mountain with Abraham and he said, Abraham, Abraham. And there he became the sacrifice. And God made a sacrifice of Himself. And so we see Him as the God of Abraham, as the God the Father. God the Isaac, we see Him as God the Son. But what about God the Jacob? What about the God of Jacob? Preacher, He is a swindler. He was a crook. He would do dirty deals. He tricked his brother out of his birthright. He was some kind of something. Oh, that's God, the Holy Ghost saying, I'll never leave you. nor forsake you. You mean he don't mind being called the God of Jacob? No, he said it himself. See, God's pure. He's never known a sin. But he lets us know that the Holy Ghost will never leave us nor forsake. You know, that helps me in my life. I was reading one of the old writers on this subject of Exodus 3 about all day yesterday. Just been amazing the reading time I got in. And this is what he said about Moses. He said, you know, Moses was full of excuses and he couldn't talk real good. And Moses really didn't want to go. He was minding his own business. He was doing a good job tending them flock, tending the sheep. And you know, I've noticed this. God don't call lazy people. God calls busy people. You ever notice that? The reason God won't never do something with some of y'all, you're too lazy. That's right. He is busy minding his own business. And God said, hey, I got something for you to do. And he began to make all them excuses. This is what the writer said. He said, isn't it refreshing to know that a man don't have to have all of his T's crossed and his I's dotted? And he don't have to be perfect for God to use him. Why, he was a murderer. He left out of Egypt. Last time he left Egypt, he's a wanted man. Now God's telling him, you go back down there where you killed that Egyptian and hit him in the sand and stand before Pharaoh. He said, well, listen, God, they's wanted papers all around Egypt for me. That's me to know too. God may let you go back into that nest you've been laying in. This morning, God don't beat around the bush. You know, Brother David, you've been here a long time with me and you've seen what I'm fixing to say. You know what bothers me? When God's not beating around the bush and He gets people's attention and they just keep going toward Egypt. They just keep doing things their way. And it could have went the other way if they had just said, here I am, Lord. Use me. Some of you young people, I got to thinking this morning, I wonder how many people you could influence. School's fixing to start. I wonder would you say, God, here I am, use me. Little old Jake was up in the choir yesterday. Miss Renee leaned over me and she said, look yonder, Jake. She said, I believe that's a fine little boy right yonder. I said, yep. I said, it'd be amazing what them kids could do if they'd just say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Mom and daddy's in your jobs, where you work, where you get groceries, you'd be amazed what God would do for you if you'd just surrender to Him. Give Him right away of where He's supposed to be and respect Him. Say, God, here I am. Some of you here this morning, you've never been saved by the grace of God. The greatest day that would ever happen in your life is that God would call your name out of this bush here in Bowden, Georgia. And by the way, He knows your name. Young person, won't you come to Jesus and be gloriously born again by the grace of God? There's one way to heaven. There are not a lot of roads lead to heaven. There's one road to heaven. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Randall, you know what he said by the law? I never seen that till studying this. Y'all give me just a minute. Just give me a minute. When he called to Moses out of the bush, he said, you see what he said? See what the law says? Don't come hither. Stay away. I'm holy. But Brother Jake, now in this dispensation, by the grace of Jesus Christ, he says, come. Come. Aren't you glad that old law's gone? The law's perfect. It's right. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's us. Nothing wrong with the law. The reason it's not in the courthouses of America today, a lot of reasons, but the main reason it brings conviction. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's perfect. We're unperfect.
That's why we need Christ to be saved by the grace of God. He called Moses. He said, don't come over here. I'm holy. When Jesus hung on the cross, now he says, come one. Come all. But you must all come. By the way of the cross, I'd ask you this morning, God, is not beating around the bush. I've labored. I looked for something. It really bothered me, Brother Tim, most of the time. But God's put this thing on me to preach this morning. I just could, all day yesterday, all last night, this morning. I said, well, God, I don't want to preach that. He said, you just go down there and preach it. So now that's what I've done. And I'm going to open this altar up if you need.